with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Helps if I press the button. Usually, I'm in your seat, Coach, I'm over, or Aaron's on this seat, but I am not Aaron. I'm Jared Atha filling in here for Aaron on the Skinny on Sports. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. It already feels like a Friday with how the state tournament's been drawn out now. Yesterday, of course, Class B boys and girls got things going, so we will recap that a little bit later in the show. We'll actually have the broadcasters for both Hammond and Leedy on the phone. We'll get their insight on the exciting games that they covered yesterday. And Class A, it will start today. In fact, they're starting right now, and there'll be a full slate of games there. We'll recap what's going to happen today. And there's actually some other basketball happening. You know, Elk City Elkettes will be looking to continue their season today over in Okmulgee. That's at 1 o'clock. You can watch that on BigElkTV.com. And, of course, two-way keeps going, but not for a couple local teams. They will not start and play till tomorrow. We'll talk about the Merritt Oilers and the Oilerettes coming up too. Before we get into all of that, I'll remind you, you can follow us on Facebook, Skinny on Sports. We'd like to put a copy of the show, a podcast version of the show on that. You can go to kedsam.com to see a show right there. And much, much more, a lot of ways to follow us as we are just frantically covering all of the basketball that's happening. And all of a sudden, it's just all going to stop. It's just nuts. It's crazy. And it's so much fun. And what's been so much fun this year is about to talk to the guy who's the head coach of the Merritt Oilers, is watching the Merritt Oilers. That's been fun this year. Just the season that's it's had its ups, it's had its downs. And right now, they're probably the hottest team in Class 2A boys. It's head coach Donnie Husband in the studio with us. Coach, first off, thanks for coming in. Most people say, oh, you can just call me. But you took the time to come in. We appreciate you for doing that. And boy, howdy, what a ride for your boys this year.
It's been a lot of fun over this. Yeah, it's really been a lot of fun all season long. It's been a great group of guys, and they persevered through some tough times and then have came out the other side to have some success here towards the end. And it's been fun to be a part of it.
Well, let's just, first off, give us some history. I was telling you off air this is your second tenure. I knew that, but it was a little gray in before then. Now, your first tenure, very successful at Merritt. Took them to a couple state tournaments, you said?
Yes, sir. Yep, we went in 2015 and then went back in 2017, went to the state semifinals and lost, ironically, to Latta, who went on to win it that year. And we felt like we had a team good enough to win it. It just didn't work out for us and that day. We didn't shoot it very well. But, yeah, it was a very successful run for me personally. I enjoyed it. Merritt is such a great community. They love basketball, and they love hardworking kids, and they really support them. My wife's dad had passed away. We needed to get back towards her, and so we moved back to Eastern Oklahoma. And then when the opportunity presented itself to come back, it was kind of a no-brainer. And so we're excited to be back, and it's really worked out for us.
Something about Western Oklahoma draws you back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think it's the people more than anything else. I know the community of Merritt is just tremendous people, and we stayed in touch with a lot of them the years we were gone. And I had kids come out to a playoff game after we'd left, kids from Merritt. So, you know, it's such a special group of people. You just want to come back and be a part of it.
This season, it's 17-9 on the year so far. Hopefully you get a couple more wins in there, a few more wins in there. And talk about the season before we get into the playoffs. Some would say, man, come in, maybe not down, but that you usually see a little bit more on the win column for the Merritt Oilers. But you mentioned, too, health had a little something to do with that.
Yeah, we had a lot of injuries during the year. Our point guard Joshua Ligon, my son, he was fouled in the Moreland tournament. He ended up with a really bad sprained ankle and broke a non-weight bearing bone in there. So, you know, he was out about 3 weeks and really hasn't been full speed, but has kind of gutted through and done that. We lost Caden Smith after the first ball game for a couple of weeks to a sprained ankle. Caden Dunlap has had a bad hip all year, and he's had some ankle issues. And Luke Peffer, we lost him for a game and some practices over ankle issues. So, you know, we've had some kids in and out of the lineup, and that's been kind of tough to deal with. But, you know, through it all, with the young kids stepping in and everything else, we've managed to keep our head above water. And most importantly, I think we maintained a really good attitude and really kept working hard every day and seeing what we could be. And they just persevered through it all.
Health a big reason for the success in playoffs?
I think so. Healthier? Yeah, I think so. Confidence has a lot to do with it too. You know, I think you can look up on the wall at Merritt and you can see it's not far-fetched for a team from Merritt to have success in the playoffs. You know, it hasn't been that long ago since they made this same run and got close and played to go. So there's a lot of banners in that gym, whether it's boys, girls, or whatever it is. There's a lot of banners in there that show success can happen at Merritt. And, you know, our community has lived through that and supported that. And, you know, these kids, a lot of these kids were young. You know, we have another senior, Mason Mung, whose brother was my best player on the 17 team. And, you know, those guys were in the stands for all of that. So they've seen success. And, of course, our girls have been really good, and they've seen that. So it's not a far-fetched thing when you tell them you can make a run. And, you know, we're just fortunate some things went our way the last couple of weeks. But you got to be there to take advantage of it, and you got to be ready to take advantage of it. And I thought we were.
Looking at your playoff run, you handled Sayre pretty easily in the district championship, and then came the looming matchup with Hooker, a team that is, ranked third in the final rankings. Very athletic, very deep bench. I've seen them play a couple times. They just make you go, wow, with the athleticism that they bring to the court. First off, just one, the fans. I got to commend. That was an awesome atmosphere from what I saw.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable atmosphere. And that was I remember looking when my wife and family and I, we thought about doing this. We watched some of the games last year, and you didn't see the excitement and enthusiasm, especially during the boys game, for whatever reason. And you know, that was one of the things that was exciting, to try to get that back. And you've got to earn that. You know, we talked about with the kids all year long. You got to earn having the kids come to the game. You got to earn the support. And so that night was just, you know, just a tremendous atmosphere. Probably unfair to Hooker to be walking in, you know, with their ranking and everything, to come into that situation. But, you know, we had to be prepared. You know, the crowd's not going to be there for you if we're not playing well and we're not deserving their cheers. And so I thought our guys competed incredibly hard that night. And you know, we some things worked out for us, but you know, you got to be ready when you get the chance, and I thought we were, and just played an incredible game, and hats off to you. Don't think things like that can happen. We talked about it all week long. You know, a champion was just a contender who just refused to give up, and that's kind of the mantra that we've had, and you know, it worked out well for us that night,
just,
for sure.
Yeah, it just seemed like when and kids fuel off the fans. I believe that. I think when the fans are into it, engaged and really supporting them, they fuel off that. But from that game, I saw every time you guys needed a big shot, you got it.
Yeah.
And then that fuels the fans, and then it just fuels the kids. And you guys were able to come off with a big upset win, 41-35. You went and took down Crescent by 10 points. It just seems like it's just building and building. Was there any fear of, okay, like a letdown? You put so much energy into taking down one of the top teams in the state. Now you got to turn around and keep it going. Was there any fear there? Or
coaches fear everything.
I'm sure he did.
I mean, we fear everything.
I just picked one there.
We just make sure the bus – I mean, you know, is the bus going to start sometimes? You know, we fear everything. So that's always a worry. And you know, we tried to take the message of, you know, we've opened a door. Now, if we don't walk through it, you know, we're to blame for that. And Crescent had a really good team and very athletic and young. And so we jumped out, had a great start. So, you know, we didn't have that hangover. I think more than anything, a win like Hooker, more than you a letdown, I really believe builds your confidence.
Yeah.
I think it changes your everything about, you know, you can talk about doing something and you can say, you know, I can tell them 100 times you can do this, but till you actually do it, I think it makes it hard for them to believe it. And, you know, that obviously once they did it and once they climbed a mountain like that, you know, that I don't think they wanted to let it get away. So it was really fun, just the celebrations, the pictures and everything else, and seeing those big smiles on those faces. Boy, it sure makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, I thought my TV speakers were going to break. That's how loud it was.
Oh, yeah. The whole side, we filled up the whole side. I had one of my former players at Latta. He was at the ball game. His wife is one of the assistants on the cash and girls bench. So he came and talked to me before the game. He said, "Guy, you guys travel well." And I said, "Oh yeah, that's one of the great things. You can look up and see, and really they support you through the ups and downs, but boy, when it's a situation like that, it's going to be a fun ride." And they were out in full force from young to old. They were all there, and man, it's fun to be a part of that.
Speaking with Merritt, Oiler head coach Donnie Husband in his second tenure as the head coach of the Merritt Oilers, but very successful tenure, and it's continuing hopefully tomorrow, taking on Central South on the area championship. Let's break it down a little bit. Have you seen, I'm sure you have, a bunch of film on Central Salisaw? What kind of problems could they present, and how do you have some success against them?
Well, they present a lot of problems. They're a very senior-laden team, and you know, as we said yesterday, they've upset the number 7 team and the number 9 team to get here. So we can think that our win was better, but they won two really tough games, and they won their district on the other team's floor. So they have really played well. Got three really good guards, really athletic guards that can all shoot, and they've had a few injuries in the post area, but they had enough depth to overcome it. Got really big kid in there. It's really aggressive rebounder and nice young athlete playing on the wing and good depth. And I know their coach, I don't know him. I know his dad, coached against his dad before. So Coach Calhoun's doing a terrific job with them. They play extremely hard, very confident. I think they had a lot of success in football, maybe got to the third round in football. So I think they've carried that over and got off to a slow start, maybe had some injuries, but I believe they've won 12 out of their last 13. So they may be a lot hotter than we are coming in and got a really nice team. So they're going to present a lot of problems. You know, hopefully our size and will make a difference. The fact that, you know, we've got some longer athletic kids playing. Hopefully that will, you know, that'll get us through. But it's going to be a really tough matchup for us. But one I think we're really looking forward to.
You mentioned long and athletic, and Luke Peffer comes to mind.
Yeah.
Talk about him and his progression this year alone. I've seen you guys play a couple times in the regular season. Yeah. And every time I watch, I look for him. What's Peffer going to do today? He's had a nice playoff run, I think.
Very nice playoff run, and he's come back from that rolled ankle and been really strong, and he just has improved tremendously as the year went on, which is a credit to him because he really works hard. He comes to the gym in the evenings and spends time working on his game, and he has really just grown and grown as the year went on. He's the backbone. I mean, he covers up so many mistakes inside with his shot blocking and does such a good job of presenting a big target for us to throw to on the offensive end. So he's done a great job. He's grown, you know, by leaps and bounds vocally as a leader and just a great young man. And boy, it's been a lot of fun to coach him and look forward to. I'm fortunate enough I get to coach him one more year. So he's done a great job for us.
How has your first tenure here at Merritt, and I know kids change, like
sure.
How to coach them, the approach, even the game has changed, but what have you taken from then to now? Like, do you still, is it still the same coaching style for you? Do you have to evolve, or or do you, or is it the same?
I think you always have to evolve. You know, I had ideas. You know, we started offensively doing some things, and we've kind of adjusted to some other things as seasons went on. I think you always have to evolve. It was different the first time. It was just success after success. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about, you know, they were state runner-up in 2012, gone to state tournament the year before, they went in 13. So they were becoming a perennial state tournament team. So we went in 15, came up short in 2016, and in 17, you know, we really thought we were going to win it. And so I think it was just, they were just used to doing it then. Coach Rundle had done an amazing job. The foundation was built throughout the program. And so, you know, maybe the talent level wasn't as good the next few years, whatever the case was, but they just kind of lost their way a little bit as far as, you know, that expectation. So we had to kind of remind, I know there was a couple times this summer, you know, we'd be in the gym, whatever, and I'd just remind them to look up at the wall and remember who they are and what they could be. But like we said, you can tell them that all the time. They've got to experience it for themselves. So, you know, this group's trying to carve out their own niche. They're trying to make a name for themselves. And, you know, if we could finish this thing up and move it on into next week, I sure think that would be a pretty big accomplishment for a bunch of guys that you know, really haven't played together until we started this year. So. Yeah, it's just you work your tail off and hope that it kind of falls into place and continues to work out.
Me and Aaron, we always have the discussion at the beginning of the year of as far as our local schools, in particular Paragon schools, who can make state, who can make a run. Of course, you know, Hammond always comes up, Hammond girls, and then Leedy boys and girls, Canute girls, and we said, well, what about Merritt? Well, Merritt girls, yeah. What about the boys? We were wrong. I think you guys are on an incredible run. You guys are state worthy. I can't wait to see tomorrow's game up there in Enid. Kip Tulsa is the girls' opponent at 6:00, followed by you guys. I don't think anybody's going to be at Simon's Catch on Friday night. I think everybody's going to be up in Enid following the Oilers and the Oilerettes. Coach, incredible season, incredible run. Keep it going. We look forward to covering you next week in the Big House.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on with us. Jared Atha filling in for Aaron. He's on the road heading over to Okmulgee to cover the Elkette basketball team taking on Wagner this afternoon at 1:00. You're going to be able to catch that game on Big Elk TV. .com. Encourage you to do that. As I'm still kind of scrambling, I want to make sure to get all the buttons pushed. There we go. Okay, let's talk about some results from yesterday in the state tournament. Of course, it started with Class B, both boys and girls. A full day from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. of games yesterday there in the Big House. I like that format where they can get everybody inside the Jim Norick Arena. And instead of having subsides, that's probably one of the rare good things that happened that came out of COVID, and they've chosen to continue that. And the atmosphere is always awesome. And we'll just start with the girls' bracket. A fun game for a little bit, but Hammond was able to pull away and beat Mountain View Godibo 47-42. And they had Will advancing. Lee West was awesome as usual. Double-double, 25 points and 16 boards. Edwina Piwa was our Robs Ranch player of the game. She had 10 points. She had 8 of her 10 points from the free throw line. Kids, that's why you practice your free throws. It can help you win games, especially state tournament games. And she did just that. They will take on La Mega. La Mega defeated Kiowa 52-41. A game that was never really in doubt for La Mega. Although Kiowa had it within 5 and they had a shot in the fourth quarter. And they had a couple looks from outside. If they were able to hit a couple of those three-pointers, or at least one of them, you suddenly got a two-point game, and suddenly the pressure is turned onto La Mega. But they never really looked pressured at all. I mean, they looked like they expected to win. Kiowa gave them a fight, but La Mega pulled away and wins that one 52-41. Maybe the game of, at least on the day on the girls' side, Lakeba Sickles defeated Arnett 49-43. Great run for Arnett comes to an end. Lakeba Sickles will continue. That was a tight game going into the fourth and throughout the fourth, quite honestly. Dover, number one, Dover, there's been a lot of doubt of is number one, are they really number one? They look like the number one team yesterday, beating Turner 62 to 51. So Friday's matchups in the girls' Class B bracket looks like this. Hammond and La Mega in the semifinal. The second semifinal, actually the first semifinal, is La Kiva Sickles and Dover, followed by Hammond and La Mega. Boys' games from yesterday in no particular order. Wilson Henrietta defeated Frontier 65-50. Slight upset right there. I think by margin of victory, I'll almost say it's an upset. Wilson, the seventh-ranked team, taking down the fourth-ranked Frontier squad 65-50. Duke is able to hold on and beat Bragg's. Bragg's game, a little bit of a fight. I was there for a little bit of that game, but Duke would win it 51-41. Second-ranked Duke beating number 9 Bragg's. Calumet made it look easy against Varnum 75-55. Hunter Arnold, he was awesome. 17 points. He hit 3 of his 6 three-point attempts. Kyler Thiessen with 15 points. As a team, they had 7 three-pointers out of 18 attempts. A team can fill it up from outside, not just one player, but more than one. And they started the game like that and was able to pull away and beat Varnum. So, and by the way, Leedy, they took down Granite 58-42. Alex Kadavy, 24 points, had a couple three-pointers, 7 rebounds. Luke Puffenbarger was great, 13 points, a rebound away from a double-double. He had 9 rebounds in the win over Granite. Congratulations to Coach Baumhoff over at Granite on a great year. They look legit. I mean, they can shoot the ball. Just Leedy had a little bit more, I think, inside presence with Puff. So that was a little bit of the difference. But we'll see if Granite can continue this success that they're having. They might have changed the culture there. Coach Baumhoff might have changed the culture there where they're going to be contenders for at least the state tournament year in and year out. So that sets up Leedy versus Calumet. Big matchup. Tomorrow in Wilson and Henrietta in the other semifinal taking on Duke. Games today, Class A girls, it's already started. Sealing taking on Allen. Sealing up by 20, 36-16. That's in the second quarter. Drummond and Caddo, Okarchi, Rattan, and Red Oak. And, I went down a notch there. It's actually Quinton and Empire will be the next game. Red Oak and Caddo and Oklahoma Bible Academy versus Surreal. And the boys' games will be OK and Sealing, Drummond, Caddo, Okarchi, Rattan, and Red Oak, and Sentinel. A lot of people paying attention to the Sentinel Bulldogs, that one happening today. So there's a little quick rundown of the state tournament so far. Jared Atha filling in for Aaron Kalk for today's show. And depending on what happens today, we'll see what happens tomorrow for the show. We'll have something whipped up. Let's go to the phones. We have the voices of the Hammond Lady Warriors. They followed the Warriors, Lady Warriors, all season long on Paragon TV, on Warrior TV, where the Hammond Lady Warriors are back in the state tournament. They played yesterday in their first round, defeated Mountain View Godibo 47-42. We have Ed Crabshaw with us and Kenneth Casey. Oh my goodness, are you guys there? But first,
yes, sir, we're here. Thanks for having us.
Kenneth, help me with your last name again. I don't know why I'm spacing it. Stomps. That's Stomps. Right. But you go by Casey.
Don't call me late for supper.
Ah! Oh, man. Now you're sounding like Sean Wilson with remarks like that. That's great. Well, guys, hey, first off, awesome job this year, as always, on Warrior TV. It's been such a joy to tune on in and to hear you guys with your passion and your love for this program that you guys have been following for all your lives, really. And then what you bring with the stats and the insight has been phenomenal. Good job this year, guys. Once again, it's been awesome to watch.
Oh, well, thanks. We really enjoyed doing it. And, you know, seeing these kids, they get a kick out of it, who's warrior of the game and stuff like that. And they love looking at stats just as much as the next person. So just doing it for the kids, really, man. It's been fun.
And yesterday was fun. It was a tight game against Mountain View Godibo, third-ranked team out of Class B. Of course, Hammond coming in fourth-ranked, but it felt like the other way around. I mean, it felt like Mountain View was the underdog compared to the Hammond Lady Warriors, who are, of course, the defending champs. But, I mean, credit to Mountain View. They gave the Lady Warriors a fight.
Yes, they did. I mean, it's definitely one of the better teams we've seen this year, and especially in the playoffs. I mean, Mountain View, very good team. They were, like, 27-1 coming in yesterday, so... hats off to Lady Tigers. It's a hard-fought fight all the way to the very end there.
Yeah, definitely. And there's still a loss coming to that La Kiva team, who's also in the state tournament. So,
100%. Yeah, they brought the fight. And let's kind of break down that game. It was tight throughout. And, you know, we kind of talked about this. Henley West does what Henley West does. She had a double-double. What is that, like the 89th double-double of her career? I mean,
it's funny because we were just going over stats Tuesday night in the hotel lobby and kind of averaged up this season so far, and she's averaging a double-double on the season as of the most recent games. It's like 19 points, 10 rebounds a game. So, you know, Henley West does what Henley West does, and she does it very well.
25-16. Edwina Piwa was our player of the game. For a lot of the reasons that you look for as a fan and as a coach, is it just that those hustle plays, but get to the free throw line, making 8 of 9, and I don't want to say it was the difference, but it really kept Mountain View at bay, especially in the fourth quarter. She had finished with 10 points.
Yeah, so she did an awesome job. That was a big reason why. I mean, we're always looking for that hustle play, that X factor, you know, just to name the warrior of the game, and she definitely brought that yesterday for the Lady Warriors. We had her down 8 of 10 from the free throw line, but it is what it is. She made 8 points, but
I might have wrote that down wrong. Yeah.
And then I think what else? She finished with 6 rebounds as well. So I mean, she brought it on multiple areas.
When everybody watches this team, and especially the fans that will show up on Friday and hopefully on Saturday, well, when they come to watch him, and they're immediately going to watch or look for Henley West, and she's hard not to see. She's the tallest girl on the court every game. But, and we mentioned Edwina, but who else for the Lady Warriors you think that fans need to be looking for, especially tomorrow against La Mega, outside of Henley West?
I definitely think Shannon's one of the big ones that she comes in and she's a high motor and she gets things done. But she also gets a lot of the offensive rebounds. She gets stuff that Henley doesn't get as far as like being in the wrong position, but Shannon does a great job with that. But also Paige McIntosh can shoot lights out. So she's on the, you know, get the rebound and kick it out to her. Paige can shoot really well. So I think that those two are pretty big X factors for going forward now.
You got the stats in front of you, Casey. I think you do. What was the shoot? I don't have it in front of me. So I also think Ham is a really good shooting team from outside. What did they do yesterday from outside? Was it on the low side in your mind, hitting the
from
three?
Outside?
Yeah.
From outside, we were 1 of 5, which –
That's a little low.
When Henley's cooking like that, you kind of just feed her. She's been doing it the last couple of games. So we haven't shot as many from outside. We haven't had to, which is a good thing. You know, that tells me that we're not forcing things up. We're not forcing shots that don't need to be shot. But for the game, we shot 13 of 30 from the floor for 43%. Like I said, that's a big testament to what Henley does on the inside.
Yeah, well,
and then the lone
go ahead, Ed.
The lone three-pointer. Oh, sorry. The lone three-pointer was, you know, that huge three by Danica Bull coming in the half there in the first half, and I think that really put us back in the game and kind of didn't let Mountain View run away with it.
Yeah, I'm a big momentum guy when it comes to stuff like that, especially at high school, because kids are so influential, right? So when they can hit a three-pointer at the end of the half and maybe tie it or get within one or put them up, and then they're running to the locker room with a little extra pep in their step, that I think that transfers going into the second half. I'm big on that. So you're right. That three-pointer was huge. And you're right. Hammond doesn't have to shoot a lot of threes when you have Henley West. You just quite frankly put it. But I do believe they are a good shooting team. Traditionally, they have been. They have those athletes that can do it. But you're right. If you got Henley West, if it's working down low, why take the three? Just feed Henley West. Let's look at
broke. Don't fix it.
Exactly. Let's look at today's matchup. It's a rematch with La Mega. It seems like it's an annual thing. It's not on the regular schedule, but you guys always seem to meet up with La Mega in the Warrior Classic, and you guys always seem to meet up with La Mega in the state tournament, and it's going to happen again tomorrow. Unfortunately, in the semifinals. You kind of wish it was in the finals again, but talk about La Mega. Let's go back to that first game where La Mega got the best of Hammond in the Warrior Classic. Ed, you're kind of telling me yesterday it wasn't the best outing for Hammond, and kind of rehash that one, and then just expand on that. What's it going to take to have success against La Mega tomorrow?
I think we're just going to have to come out and handle their press a little better. I mean, that's what kind of was our Achilles heel that game. We finished the game with 25 turnovers. I mean, coming against a team like La Mega, you can't afford that. They're going to make you pay for it. They shot 11 of 32 from beyond the three-point line. So they're living and dying by the three, and they definitely lived that game. And we'll have to just clean up our shooting better ourselves. We were 1 of 8 from beyond the arc that game, and just got to step up and do better, clean up the turnovers. And offensive rebounds, too, were a big key. They had 12 that game, and you know as well as I do, offensive rebounds transition back into points. So.
Yeah, and they're incredibly frustrating when it's not going your way on those the bounce of the ball and it's an offensive rebound for the other team. It's incredibly frustrating. And LaMega, from what I can see, plays frustrating. They frustrate your opponent with their defense. That press that they bring out, you kind of alluded to that. Hammer's having some trouble with that in that first game. So you expect to see some changes tomorrow to counter that press?
I mean, they've kind of gotten into this little thing that they started with, like Geronimo back in the area finals, where they just try to get to Hanley in the center of the floor and then just kind of let her direct traffic from there and hit one of the guards running up the sideline there. And then it seemed to work really well. Mountain View kind of did more of the same yesterday. Their press was really well. They like to get up in your business and stuff. So I would expect to see more of the same from LaMega. I mean, it worked for them once. Why stray away from that?
What is the schedule like? Do you know if they came home last night since they get today off? Or are they hanging out in the city?
The girls stuck around and watched the rest of the girls' session yesterday morning, and then they went and ate lunch, and they came home last night. So they got to sleep in their own beds last night. I haven't asked Coach Conley, but I believe they'll have some kind of shoot around today and kind of go over some stuff, what they saw yesterday with LaMega and Kiowa. Was it LaMega and Kiowa?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll talk about that some and what they need to do going forward.
I know a lot of teams, I think, went home yesterday. I know
it's not your traditional let's go up for the week and make a week of it. And they got this off day, which even last year they played on Thursday, but they played played early enough that they went home last year on Thursday, and then they didn't play until late again Friday. So they wanted them to give them a chance to sleep in their own bed. They didn't want them sitting around the hotel all day. So
Yeah, I know for me as a broadcaster, if I have the opportunity to drive home and sleep in my own bed, I jump all over that. I'd rather be in my own bed than a hotel. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I like it better like this, though. I mean, it gives every chance opportunity to play in the big house. A lot of the times, yes. You know, they flip-flop years and it'd be like, oh, well, B girls are only in the finals in the big house or something like that. But I love this right here. It gives every team a chance to play in the big house. Not very more opportunities with that, you know.
No, and it expands on, you know, we're kind of, me and Lake, who we'll have on next to talk about Leedy, but he was talking about how the longer you go without going to state, the less. What am I trying to say? You want to get those kids in that atmosphere. You want even in a loss, you know, you want those freshmen and sophomore to be in that building to see it, to hear it, to get and then to get acclimated to it, for lack of a better term.
Even fans too. Like you want those little third and fourth grade teams looking up, like remembering back. We were cheering on sets and sets in the big house and.
Right.
Just get their love for the game started early.
100%. Yeah, when they can be there and see it and say, I want to be – all of that. So it's – you know, kudos to the OSSA. I said it earlier. It's like the one good thing that came out of COVID was they switched it to where everybody could be in the big house, added an extra day to the schedule. It works. It's working. I like it. And I'm anxious to – I hope they continue it with the new big house when it is completed here in a couple of years. Hey, guys, I'm out of time. We got to move on and get Lake on. But thanks for what you've done for Paragon TV this past season, last couple seasons. And let's do it again tomorrow. It should be a fun game.
Well, thanks for having us. We love doing it.
Get the coffee ready.
Us,
9 p.m. Get the coffee ready, right?
Yeah,
or Red Bull or whatever it takes. So it's going to be the nightcap, and it might be the best game tomorrow, Hammond and LaMega. We're looking forward to it, guys. Hey, have fun. Take care, guys.
All right, thanks for having us, man.
Yep, no problem. Happy to have our next guest on. It's Lake Carpenter, the voice of the Leedy Bison and Lady Bison, who's been on Bison TV for what? How many years now, Lake? How many seasons has this been?
I believe we're on 7.
Wow. Are you serious? Wow. Wow. And you've done a great job at it. You and Treasure have done a fantastic job at it. It was fun sitting next to you guys yesterday and hearing your excitement, the info that you bring to the broadcast, so informative, so fun. And yesterday's game, pretty fun. Lady Bison got the win over Granite, 58-42. A feisty, really good, talented shooting Granite squad, but Leedy came up on the high side, 58-42. First off, Lake, kind of recap that game for us.
Well, I felt like several things just fell in our favor. Number one, Alex Kadavy stepped up huge, hitting 2 3-pointers, and then we really are not a 3-point shooting team. Most of the time, we don't rely on our 3-point shooting, but Kadavy came out. Noticed that he was open. He just caught in rhythm, delivered, and then Tyler Price followed suit. Aaron Hill stepped out, made some three-pointers. I felt like offensively we did things, we adjusted. We didn't just go to the rim, just use our size as we do many times. I felt like we stepped out, we made some big shots early on, we set the tone. And then on the defensive end, I really felt like we kept Davenport in check. He gets loose. He's a great player. I mean, he's a slasher. He loves to pull up and shoot the 15-foot jump shot. He can shoot the tray. I felt like Esparza, the other guard, the smaller guard, who hit, I think, 3 3-pointers, I mean, way beyond the arc. He was what kept the Granite Panthers in the ballgame, especially that first half. And I felt like the second half, it was kind of a change of the tide. We went more to the rim. We used our size. Puffenbarger got to the rim. Aaron Hill, and along with Kadavy, who had just a great game offensively with a lot of assists from Puffenberger, of course, in the transition type of game. And many times it was a baseball pass, as we've seen all season long. Luke Puffenberger, such a diverse player, can make everyone around him better. And he definitely fed Kadavy yesterday in a lot of transitions.
You know, the state tournament is getting there is always the goal, but this season has been – I just kind of want to go back to this season coming in right now at 27-5. Where at this point in the season did you think this is a state tournament quality team?
I felt like I saw the light back when we had the South Canadian Classic tournament at Leedy, which was normally, you know, in December, right before the Christmas break. I felt like when we went and won that tournament and we beat Red Oak and we beat Okarchee, who are both in the Class A state tournament, when we beat Okarchee especially in the finals, I felt like Okarchee was number 4 at the time in Class A, and I really felt like I saw the pieces of the puzzle just emerge. And I felt like Alex Kadavy, Luke Puff, Aaron Hill, Tyler Price, and then Cale Klein, can't leave Cale out, they all just really, to me, just meshed and they came to play, and I felt like we were a state contending team at that very moment.
We were talking yesterday about how important it is to get a team to state, especially get them inside the Jim Norick Arena, and this is what you said, the first time that this group has been in that building. Now, not their first time to make state when they were younger. They said they make state but went to Washington for a sub-site and got beat. But now they're here, and I kind of expanded on that thinking. That's so big in a sense where, despite the outcome, and it was a great outcome yesterday, and Calumet is the matchup for tomorrow. And but how big is it for this team just to make state for the future of the program? I mean, it's already a well-sustained program. But there was a little bit of a gap there where they hadn't been in that building. How big is it to get that there? And as Ed said in our previous segment, even to get the fans in there and the little kids in there maybe for the first time, how big is that?
Well, it's huge. You can't stress experience how important it is. And, you know, to have that underneath your belt, where you've been, I felt like Leedy boys played very well to be in the Big House for the very first time. We talk a lot about Luke Puffenberger. Luke was a sophomore the last time we went to state, and we did get beat out first round at Washington against Glencoe, who went on that year to win the whole tournament. But nonetheless, these boys, including Luke, have not been in the Big House, but they were yesterday. And it is so important. It's just a feel for the atmosphere, the court itself a little different to dribble on. It's different to shoot on in that Dome or that Jim North Arena. But I really felt like Leedy just they looked like they belong there, and they liked the light. You know, to me, my dad always said a winner is a winner is a winner. You're going to step up to the level. You're going to step up to the step up to the stage when the lights are bright. You're going to face the audience. You're going to perform, and you're going to produce. I felt like we did that yesterday. All the players, even the subs that come in, got some experience. Everybody got their feet on the hardwood in the Jim North Arena, which was just so special for fans, family, like you said, the young ones. I remember going to the state tournament every year. We didn't travel much. We didn't get out of Custer County very often. But the one thing we did do was come to the state tournament and watch basketball.
Alluded to the matchup tomorrow. It's Calumet, number one Calumet, undefeated. It's a monumental task to take on, but you talked about a team that they acted like they should be there. That's the Leedy Bison. Is it going to take an attitude like that to pull off the upset tomorrow?
It's going to take an attitude, and it's just going to take a lot to beat a really good Calumet team. They're 30-0 as we speak. Number one in Class B. They beat a lot of Class A teams as well, and even bigger schools, I believe. Calumet is just a really good team. They have several players even come off the bench, reserves that produce. Coach Mayfield's kids play hard. They're going to be very, very physical. They're not a real big team except for the number 25, Hezekiah. And I don't know how to pronounce his last name properly. I got to work on that one. But nonetheless, you know, he's a 6'6" sophomore. He's, of course, got some length and size to him. But the rest of their guards are just so fundamental. And I think that's what you see when you get over to the state tournament. Kids, players that are fundamental, who can dribble the ball, get to the rim, spot up, make shots, jump shots, three-pointers, just a real versatile type player. That's what Calumet, they go hard, not one, not two, but all of them can go score. That's what makes them so dangerous. Plus, their defense is really good. Their press is tough.
The thing that stands out to me is their guard play, yeah. And they're shooting. They're shooting from outside. I've seen them play now four times, and it seems like that is how they want to start a game, is hit a few threes from outside and just really put their opponent behind the eight ball early. Is that a fair assessment? Is Leedy going to have to guard the perimeter? I mean, you mentioned the young man who we can't say his name down low, which is going to be a task for Puff, but do you think maybe run them off the three-point line, keep them uneasy, making bad passes, stuff like that, and you know, just keep the thing as close as we can, as long as we can?
The key to it is to handle the ball against the pressure defense. Do not give them layups and opportunities. Those are easy buckets, obviously, on turnovers. If we can just protect the ball, get into the half-court setting, and somehow, if possible, slow the game down and use Luke Poffenbarger, use Aaron Hill, Alex Kadavy. And here's, I don't know what Coach Carpenter's philosophy is, but I can promise you this. If we've got the ball in our hands, they're not scoring. So I'm not saying it's going to be a delayed game,
sure,
stall ball, but I feel like we have to control the tempo, because every time Calumet has the ball in their hands, they're probably going to score, because they can just do so many things. They shoot three-pointers, as you mentioned. It's drive, kick, get to the rim. I mean, they are fun to watch because they are so talented. Not one, not two, not four, not five, about eight of them can get in there. Coach Mayfield uses a lot of players. He's had players come into that program. He's built quite a program. Calumet used to be always Class A. They fell down to Class B the last few years, which has made it a lot tougher for Class B teams. But I think if Leedy can just control the ball, control the tempo, don't turn the ball over, and give them easy, low picking fruit, I think that will be key to staying in the game and possibly getting a win.
We also talked with Ed about the advantage of playing on a Wednesday. From what I understand, Leedy went home last night, got to sleep in their own beds.
Yeah, Coach Carpenter and I talked about that. They stayed, once they got out of the dressing room, had a little bit of celebration down there with the fans and the family, of course. They stayed till about halftime of that next game. They went to UConn, I believe, stopped somewhere in UConn, had dinner, and then they went on home. They're going to sleep in their own beds last night. They'll sleep in their own beds tonight. They'll, of course, have practice, prepare for Calumet, I'm sure, today, and they're going to come up early Friday morning.
Game time, noon. We'll have a pregame at about 11:35, 11:40 on Bison TV, and you can hear it. Can't see it until about 24 hours later, but you can hear it and hear your call and hear Treasure's great analysis of the game and statistics. And, again, you guys do a great job. I always appreciate you guys for jumping on Paragon TV and taking pride in it. I mean, you guys do a great job. Good job this year and the years past.
We try to represent Leedy. Leedy, just to brag on Leedy a little bit, just such a quality Class B school on many levels. A lot of these players we see on the court, they do so many different things. They're in the one act program, the arts, you name it, other sports, academic teams. And I feel like Leedy always tries to set the bar high. And as broadcasters, Treasure and I take a lot of pride in that. We try to just arrive to that level. But you, Jared, Atha, Aaron Kalk, I'll mention Aaron, Skinny, you are broadcasters I try to learn from. I played the game. I feel like I know some about the game, but at the same time, broadcasting the game is a little bit different, and to keep ourselves a little bit in check and our emotions in the box. Sometimes we can get a little excited and may not agree with all the calls on the court. But nonetheless, thank you for your help. Thank you to Sean Wilson, who's always just a joy to be around and fun guy and knows a lot about the game as well. And Aaron, I can't thank everybody enough for all you do. Gabe Edney, I'm going to give a shout-out to Gabe as well, the tech guy that keeps us all rolling. So thank you, and thanks to the Bank of Western Oklahoma. I got to mention who I work for because they're the ones who corporately sponsor this, along with many others, but the premier sponsors. So thank you to the Bank of Western Oklahoma for at least giving me an opportunity and allowing Treasure as well and just picking us to, putting us together. The first year I did it was with Coach Chris Gore, and definitely was a learning curve for both of us. It's funny to go back and we can listen to some of those broadcasts, including myself. You just learn, and experience is key. Experience is key. Yeah. Like we talked about in the state tournament, experience is key.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the kind words, Lake. You do a great job, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Should be a fun broadcast.
Yes, it will be fun. I'm just, like Sean said, you got to be in it to win it.
Absolutely.
So we're here. We're excited. I'm proud of our team. A stellar record right now at 27-5, and all those five losses were to quality teams. And I just feel like, Leedy has had a great season. Love to see it carry on. And Leedy's never had a gold ball on the boys' side. Only had one on the girls' side, and only one or none on the boys. So it'd be a tremendous accomplishment if Leedy could bring home that gold ball on the Big Bison Bus.
Well, I know after talking to your brother, was it earlier this week, about that very fact, about he admittedly said he wants to be that coach that brings a gold ball on the boys' side, be the first one. So I think by virtue of that, before that, he's had a ton of fans. I'm one of them, and I think it brought in a lot of fans. A lot of people will be rooting for the Leedy Bison to accomplish that feat, and Coach Carpenter in particular. So good luck to him. Good luck to the Bison, and good luck to you and Treasure. And, again, looking forward to tomorrow's broadcast. Hey, Lake, thanks for being on with me. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the invitation and looking forward to tomorrow. So safe travels to you, and we'll see you Friday in the Big House.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for calling. Take care.
Bye.
Or I called him. Hey, that was a packed show. It's already over. So big thank you to Coach Donnie Husband for being in. Thank you for Ed Crabshaw, NKC, Kenneth Stomps for being on with us. Talk about the Hammond Lady Warriors. And, of course, thank you to Lake Carpenter for being our guest and talking to us about yesterday's game with Leedy and Granite and the big matchup tomorrow, Leedy and Calumet. That's going to wrap up today's show. Big thank you to all of our fans or all of our listeners for tuning on in as I'm pressing wrong buttons galore. Okay, let's press the right button. There we go. Real quick check of the score. Class A girls state tournament underway. Ceiling demolishing Allen 75-32. I don't think there's a shock there. It's gonna do it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Good luck to the Big Elks or the Elkettes today, taking on Wagner. 1 o'clock, Big Elk TV. Tune on in. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.